This Thanksgiving Day edition of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And I can tell you that Michelle and I are very thankful for all the years and all the trips that the professionals at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel have provided for us when we have gone to a Run Disney event. We are very, very thankful for all the wonderful rooms we've had and for them for taking the worry out of making sure that we got where we wanted to go. So we want you to be thankful too. So why don't you visit them at MEI-Travel and MouseFanTravel.com, and you could also get to them by clicking on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi, I'm Richard Pete from Crystal Lake, Illinois, and I love listening to Michelle and Mike on the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopo.
Welcome to episode 124 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopo from WW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. How are you this fine November day, Michelle?
It's almost the end of the semester for me, so I am up to my ears in grading, but I see the light at the end of the tunnel, so I'm excited. So we have a shout-out today, and it is to a listener whose name is Megan Annunziata. She is a Disney cast member, also a member of Team and Training, and she did the gingerbread run for Give Kids the World. So she's a big-time fundraiser, and we give her a big shout-out for all of her efforts, because training is hard enough. Training and fundraising makes it really tricky. So good job, Megan.
It's always great to hear runners giving back to the community. And this running community is very grateful for the information that we have received from our guest, who is coming back again to talk about something very important, and that is the challenge of the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend with the event known as Dopey, where runners will be running the 5K, the 10K, the half marathon, and the marathon. So we have invited back to talk about that and how to do whatever is necessary to meet that nutrition challenge is Tara Guidus, who is the official nutritionist of Run Disney. Welcome back, Tara.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
We are just excited because I know this is very dear, near and dear to my heart. I think that everybody can do the running. I think that when we heard about the addition of the 10K, everyone said, well, big deal. It's only another 6 miles, which is true. But what they don't realize that it's an iteration of another day. It's getting up early. It's trying to figure out how to replenish what you have sweated out, what you have burned as far as calories, trying to keep your muscles and everything in tone. And we just pleased as punch to have you come in and talk to us and talk to our listeners and give us an idea of what you feel, being the expert that you are, what we have to do to play it safe come that weekend.
Yeah, well, and I think you bring up a really good point that it's not just like if you were to be at home running 3 miles and then 6 miles and then a 13 mile and a marathon. Because any time, at least for me, any time that number goes on, you tend to, you know, get that competitive streak and run a little faster and put out more exertion. Plus, to your point, getting up a lot earlier, you know, and getting to the race and all that kind of stuff versus just getting up at home and stepping out the door.
So one of the things that I did in September or October, I did one of the Reach the Beach type of Ragnar runs where I ran 204 miles with a team. And one of the things that struck me is that the nutrition for that was hard, and I did not plan out well. And it really, when I started to think about Dopey, I thought, okay, now I really have to think about this a little bit more and do some planning. So I think what you've talked about weight loss, you talked about other nutrition. I think it might be helpful for us to kind of go blow by blow and maybe start like a week before the race and what you're thinking about with nutrition, and then we'll go day by day after that. Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. So it's about a week before New Year's, just at around New Year's, and I've done all my training for the Dopey. What sort of things should I be thinking of in terms of nutrition?
Well, you know, just like you would be training for any other race, you're always wanting to make sure that you're going to be carbohydrate loading and hydrating. So you want to make sure that a week out, you're eating primarily carbohydrates. That doesn't mean all carbohydrates, but you're making sure that at every single meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and even snacks in between, that you're having some nice complex carbohydrates like bread, cereal, rice, pasta, tortillas, potatoes, beans, fruits and vegetables, you know, all that kind of stuff should be the mainstay of what you're eating. And then, of course, some protein, some yogurt, some milk, cheese, meats, you know, on top of that. But, you know, making sure that you're getting your glycogen stores, your energy stores as full as possible before you start. And then also the hydration aspect. And we don't know, of course, what the weather is going to be like yet, but it could be hot, it could be cold, but either way, you're going to be getting very dehydrated when you're doing back-to-back races like this. So you want to make sure that you're also, even a week ahead of time, starting to hydrate.
So it sounds like if possible, if runners could get into some type of routine that, I don't want to say guarantees, but at least it helps them maintain a certain level of glycogen and hydration. And one of those things that comes to mind is that always have a bottle of water nearby, or always have something like that nearby, so you can always top off your system. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you always hear once you find that you're thirsty, that means you're already dehydrated, which can be very true. So always having that water bottle next to you and reminding yourself to drink. And, you know, if you like a little flavor in the water, that's fine. If you just like it plain, that's fine. If you like it cold, if you like it room temperature, you know, figure out what's the best way for you to drink and make sure that you're drinking it.
Okay, so that brings us up to Dopey Weekend. And is there anything, so it's the day before the 5K, is there anything different, or I'm still going to do the same thing I've done the previous 7 days in terms of nutrition and hydration?
Yeah, I mean, for the 5K, I wouldn't necessarily say you have to do any more, because you're already should be, you know, primarily carbohydrates, drinking, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, leading into the 5K, I don't think there's really anything different that you need to do the night before. Morning of course, you want to have something to eat before the race. Always eat before races, whether that's a half a bagel, banana, you know, primarily carbohydrates.
And I think it's important to remember, too, because we talk to so many people about what they eat and what they don't eat, is that part of your training is figuring out what works well for you before your race. So maybe a bagel doesn't sit well in your stomach, but what is it that's going to do it for you? You have to kind of figure that out before you go. So so now we're building up to the 10K the next day, and mm-hmm. It might involve some time around the parks for people. What should they be thinking of as they get ready for that next race?
All right, so so any time that you're doing back-to-back races like this, you want to remember there's three R's for recovery: refuel with carbs, rebuild with protein, and rehydrate with fluids. So just remember carbs, protein, and fluid. And that's going to be the key to doing these back-to-back races, is the recovery in between. So yeah, it's going to be important to fuel before your races and all that, but if you're not recovering in between these races, that's going to leave you on marathon day without the energy that you need. So even after the 5K, even though it was only 3 miles, I would, you know, make sure that within 30 minutes after that race, you're having carbs. Within 2 hours, you're having some protein, and you're rehydrating as soon as possible after the race.
You know, Tara, that you hit upon a point that's been in the back of my mind. It's not the first 3 days. It's that fourth day that I'm concerned about. And I guess my question is, are there any indications, flags, things that we can monitor to tell us that we are doing a good job or that we're not doing a good enough job to restore everything that we need to restore before that fourth day? Are there any flags that we should be looking? I guess I want to know, is there any way we can monitor how well we're doing?
Well, I mean, the hydration is easy because you look at the color of your urine. You've heard me say this before. Best way to know whether you're properly hydrated is to look at the color of your urine. And if it's barely yellow, that means you're properly hydrated. So that's an easy one. Carbohydrate stores, it's a little bit harder. And I would go by, how do I feel? You know, am I feeling a little bit fatigued? Am I not feeling like I have that bounce in my step? Are my legs feeling a little bit tired? You know, is my body tired or are my muscles tired? And so that's going to be the best probably indicator, is just really, really pay attention to how does your body feel.
Are there any things that you should stay away from in the parks in terms of snacks after that 5K going into the 10K?
You know, I hate to tell people not to go to the parks, of course, when they're down at Disney. But if you're really seriously doing the dopey, I would be very careful about how much you're on your feet. Right, in between right. all these races, especially Friday, Saturday. Because right. if you've done the 5K on Thursday, fine. You know, then you do the 10K on Friday. Now, if you're in the parks all day, you're up until, you know, fireworks, all that whole deal. Then you do the half marathon the next day, and then you're in the parks again. I mean, I would just try to rest as much as possible. So in terms of food, you know, I always say try to stay away from, you know, the stuff that's going to be really fried, greasy, that kind of stuff, not because you don't need the calories because you've, you know, burned it, fine, but it's that it's not really going to do anything to replenish you. Carbohydrates and protein are the two things that you're going to need to replenish your muscles the most. The fat isn't really going to help you a whole lot. So I would try to focus on the lower fat, higher carb, good lean proteins. You know, look for that kind of stuff.
Tara, some runners have told me that they try to stay away from salads when they are within maybe 12 to 15 hours of a big race. Would you say also to avoid salads if possible?
You know, I think that's an individual thing. If you are a normal salad eater and your body is used to raw, roughage salads, then I would say you're probably fine. But if you're not used to eating salads on a regular basis, then salads can cause a little bit of gastric upset. Just those raw veggies and a huge salad or something like that could, you know, cause a little bit of stomach upset. So I would probably err more on the side of some cooked veggies than I would, you know, big salads.
And during the races, I guess it would also behoove everyone to establish, and they should be doing this now while they're training. They should be in the practice of taking nutrition every 30 or 40 minutes or whatever works for them while they're running, and making sure they're hydrating during the course of their training and their runs, because that's something that I would guess would be also very, very important during those 4 days.
Yeah, very, very good point is that, you know, I was focusing on what you eat before the race, after the race, but we haven't really talked about during the race. And that's a really good point is that, you know, every 15 to 20 minutes within the race, you should be having some carbohydrates and some fluid, whether it's from the Powerade that's going to be on the course, or maybe some gels, or, you know, beans, or whatever it is that you may have packed yourself, or orange slices, whatever it is that you may have on your body, or you're just going to do the sports beverage that's provided, then that is going to be critical, is the during the exercise as well. And even the 10K, you know, 6 miles, I would make sure that you're getting some fluid, some sports, you know, some Powerade is what's going to be on the course during that 10K, and then definitely, of course, during the half marathon and the full marathon.
So just as a reminder to folks that for that half, usually there's one point where you get gels between mile 8 and 9, but you'll have to carry some more with you. That's not going to do it.
Well, it depends on how much Powerade you're going to drink. You could do all sports drinks, or you can supplement with a little bit more. Or if you choose not to do as much sports drinks, then you could bring some more gels, and that's fine. Just make sure that you're drinking water with your gels. But especially if you're doing, you know, the dopey, you might want to err on the side of, I'm going to have a little bit more of the sugar of the, you know, sports drinks and gels during the race to try to give me more of an advantage in terms of replenishing.
And why would you drink water when you're doing gels? I do, but I was just wondering if there's a science reason why.
Yes, definitely. It's to prevent some of that gastric upset. So if you have too much sugar at one time in your stomach without some fluid in there, some water, it can cause, you know, a little bit of diarrhea, a little bit of, you know, gastric upset.
Cool. All right. Well, not cool, but cool to know. It's cool to know why. All right. So now we're on to the marathon day, and we're doing all pretty similar things, you know, taking in lots of water, taking in the carbohydrates as needed. Here's a question for you. At about mile 20, they start to give out things like bananas and sometimes candy. Is that a good idea?
Absolutely. I think the more sugar you can get, you know, again, without it causing some gastric upset. But by mile 20, especially if you've done the dopey, you are definitely needing significant sugar. And of course, you've started at mile 2 with replenishing with sugar. You haven't waited till mile 20. But yeah, you definitely, you know, and at that point too, you know, at least for me, like I'm sick of the fluid replacement beverage at that point. I'm like, ugh, if I have to look at one more cup of Powerade.
Yes.
So, you know, you may be looking just from I need some variety, looking for something else to get in. So that's where, you know, the gels are nice too. I think that's at mile 18, at the marathon. And then, you know, bananas, orange slices, candy. So, you know, the chocolate, I think it's fine. Just don't do too much of it at one time. Again, that can just cause a little bit of stomach upset, but I like it because it gives you a little bit of variety. And at that point, you're just oversaturated with sports drinks and I just need something else.
Yeah. I had an issue last year. It was my first marathon, and mile 16, some very dear friends had what I thought was a great idea, powdered donuts, little powdered donuts. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to take one of those. Not a good idea.
Nah.
I'd never done that during my training, and it was bad. It was bad stomach upset. So I guess bananas and those little tiny chocolates are okay, depending on how you're feeling. But just keep on. Okay, so now I'm done. I'm done with my dopey. I've got all the six medals. And so just to wrap up, what is the rest of the day and the next few days going to look like if we're going to be safe with our nutrition and make sure that we're okay?
Yeah, definitely those three R's, the, you know, refueling with carbs, rebuilding with protein, and rehydrating with fluids. And you start that within 30 minutes after, or, you know, immediately after the race. And for the couple days, you know, in the future, and you're going to be sore, very likely. If you're not, call me and tell me what you did. but no, you're going to be sore. And so that is those soreness in your muscles are your muscles screaming for nutrition. And it's screaming for carbs, it's screaming for protein, it's screaming for also hydration, for antioxidants. So you just want to make sure that you're getting some really good nutrition, not the junk afterwards because, oh, I ran so many miles, I deserve it, but rather I need really good nutrition to rebuild my muscles, to refuel my muscles, to make sure that I don't get an injury from, you know, from these back-to-back races.
I want a t-shirt that says refuel, rebuild, and rehydrate.
I know. I need to make one.
Like Team Tara. The three R's.
I have one last question. This comes under the heading of help, hamper, or no effect. And so we have, over the last several years, known and learned about the importance of recovery, and you've given us great information on what we can do before, during, and after January to take care of ourselves. What I wanted to ask you, Tara, and I know you're a runner and you probably have done this, for the marathon, we probably will see several runners wearing compression sleeves on their calves. And I was going to ask you, do you think wearing those will work as a complementary partner in the nutrition practices that you have talked about? Does it make a difference? Does it not make a difference? Does it hamper? I'm just wondering, you know, what you feel about with the compression sleeves.
Yeah, I think the compression sleeves have some really good research to them. And especially for back-to-back races like this, you want to try to give those muscles as much opportunity to get the nutrients flowing and to the muscles where they need to go. So I think the compression sleeves are going to be a really good idea to, you know, especially between like the half marathon and the marathon, and even probably the, you know, the 10K and half marathon, to help, you know, with muscle recovery.
Terry, you're awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is so interesting. Honestly, I could just talk for hours and hours about this. So cool. So I was wondering, we know about your book. We know that you offer nutrition consulting services, and you have a, is it a web show or a TV show? Could you tell us about that before we let you go?
Yeah. So it's a nationally syndicated TV show. Actually, it's daily, 1 hour. So it's pretty much become my new full-time job. It's called Emotional Mojo. And if you go to emotionalmojo.com, or you can go to the Facebook page, Emotional Mojo, and like it, and you'll see lots of different clips of what we do. And I do a little bit of nutrition, but it's really just a lot of inspirational, motivational, let's get your life moving in a positive direction type of a show. It's just a really good, feel-good show that I'm really proud of. So it's very exciting.
It's amazing that you're a nutritionist and that now you're doing so many cool things. I mean, every day sounds like it's different for you.
It really is. And that's what's exciting about this TV show too, is that it's, you know, it's taking some of my expertise in nutrition, but it's also just, you know, life. I mean, it's all the experiences of life and taking that positive energy and turning it into inspiration and motivation for people to do. And that's one of the things I love about Run Disney and, you know, this whole Disney partnership is the stories that I hear from people, whether it's I lost 120 pounds by training for my first Run Disney event, or, you know, just inspirational stories of how running has changed their life. And I just think that is one of the best things about Disney, is that, you know, they're really getting people out there and moving and excited about running a marathon when they may have never thought about running a marathon before.
You know, I want to say something. Lots of us, many people who are listening, you know, we all have our jobs and we all do the best job we can in our jobs. And one of the things that I admire about you, Tara, is that you're in a profession where you can help people and you can see the impact of your efforts, and you can have people come up to you and say, thank you very much for helping me. And I just want to compliment you, and I want to thank you for coming on our show.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure. I mean, this is what I'm passionate about doing, is helping people to achieve the best, whether it's just crossing the finish line or achieving a PR, you know, the weight loss, the, you know, whatever it is. I mean, nutrition plays such a key part of that. And, so I'm pleased to be able to have that role.
And I have one more question. During the, marathon weekend, you will be at the expo, and will you be making presentations?
Absolutely. I don't have the expo scheduled yet as to what time I'm going to be speaking, but yes, I will definitely be there all weekend and probably putting some time in at the Run Disney booth as well. So yeah, please come find me.
It's great, great presentation. Really, really interesting. Go see it.
But you get a promise that in between presentations, you'll hydrate and you'll.
That's right. Exactly. Well, and the nice thing about the expo too is that, you know, you're on your feet the whole time. But like you said, Michelle, I wish more people would take advantage of the talks, because you can take a load off your feet, sit down and relax and learn. I mean, there are so many interesting things that, you know, that the different speaker series has that I really hope people pay attention to it and take advantage of it.
Yeah, definitely. When that final race program comes out, you know, pull it out and mark it in your calendar so you can build around what you want to hear. Because it's great.
Plan some extra time at the expo than just picking up your packet and leaving.
Mm-hmm. And Michelle and I will be looking forward to seeing you in January.
All right. Sounds great. Can't wait.
Okay, so for Tara Guidis and Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, I guess we'll see you in January.
This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And as we approach December and January, maybe it's time for you to start thinking about those New Year's resolutions. And why don't you resolve to make sure that all your Run Disney events and any vacation plan that you have is met with success. And the best way to guarantee that is to have the vacation planners, the vacation professionals at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel do that for you. So why don't you make that resolution right now and go over and see them at MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at Mickey Miles Podcast. Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.